is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19 related topics with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Obviously, at the front of the conversation today, Dr. Bob, we've got a new variant. Tell us more about it.
Well, this new variant of concern is called the Omicron variant. And so about a year ago, they decided to name the variant using the Greek alphabet. And Omicron, the 15th letter of the Greek alphabet, is the name for this new variant. So variants happen all the time. You remember we started with the ancestral strain from China back in January and February of last year. In the summertime, we had a variant called the D614G, and that variant strengthened the stalk of the little knobs on the outside of the coronavirus. And by strengthening the stalk, it made the virus better able to compete. And within a few months, almost all of the new viruses had that D614 variant. There were then some smaller variants that didn't really take tremendous hold until the Alpha variant, which started in the UK, and the Alpha variant was more contagious and better able to transmit from person to person. And so there was a big Alpha wave in the UK starting in December, going through January and February, and then the US about 6 weeks later. Then there was the Delta variant, which started in India, which was even more contagious than the Alpha variant and probably caused more serious disease and was a little less well controlled by the vaccine. So all of those things led to a real spike in the summertime, starting in India, that had an enormous spike, probably 4 million deaths in India from the Delta variant, and then spread to the UK and then spread to the US. And Delta was the variant that caused most of our disease in August and September. This new variant, which started in South Africa or nearby, is worrisome. And it's worrisome because it's got a lot of mutations. It's got 50 mutations in it. And we're worried because many of those mutations are near the binding site. That is where the virus attaches to the cells. And that's also where the antibodies attack this virus. So we're worried that it could spread, may cause different symptoms, and may be less well controlled by the vaccine or by the Regeneron.
Now, with the holiday weekend news cycle being pulled back a bit, a lot of people are just really learning about this today. And there seems to be a question as to whether this variant originated in South Africa or if it was simply found there because of their aggressive level of testing.
It could be either. I think because the majority of the cases that we're seeing are in South Africa, it likely started in South Africa or possibly in Botswana. So Botswana has had a relatively high number of cases. And so people who have been listening to stuff over a while, I've been concerned about Africa because Africa has a couple of situations that make it really prone to spreading. The first is they have a very low vaccine rate. So it could spread. The second is, although Africa is a big country, there are many people crowded into several cities, Lagos and others. They don't have a lot of testing. And they have a lot of people who with weakened immune systems. And we think it's people with weakened immune systems that let this virus mutate more.
Talk about the level of concern. You mentioned that a bit a moment ago. Is it that the variant is stronger, or is it spreading faster, or some of both?
We don't know. So we don't know how fast it's spreading. It has spread very quickly in South Africa. So South Africa, in this northern parts of South Africa, had very little disease until just 2 weeks ago, and the amount of disease is up 1,700% in the last 2 weeks. So really rapid spread there. What they've seen there is it's mostly spread among young people. And among young people, they've had relatively mild disease. Now, we don't know if this means that this virus just causes mild disease, or when you see it in young people, they have mild disease. No. So we're going to watch it carefully.
Now, obviously, if it is just mild, then that would bring the concern level down a bit, right?
Well, that would bring it way down. So imagine if you had a variant that spread a lot but caused no more than the common cold, in which case you would not really worry about it very much at all. Because what we worry about in these is the severe cases that wind up in hospitalization and in death. So we've had now over 280 people in our county dead from COVID and hundreds hospitalized, many of whom are going to be weakened for months or years from their hospitalization. So if this was a variant that only caused mild disease, that would be not a bad thing. But every time we've hoped for that in the past, our hopes have been dashed.
Now, it seems like travel restrictions have gone into place in a lot of different ways very quickly. What do you know about that so far?
Well, travel restrictions are not the only strategy you can use. So travel restrictions can certainly be part of a strategy, and it can be part of a strategy to buy some time. How much time does it buy in this world? Well, if done correctly, they could buy 4 to 6 weeks of time. So the delay could be 4 to 6 weeks. However, in the past, when countries have done travel restrictions, they sometimes did the worst thing, which is to say, as of X date, if you are somebody from the United States in that country, you need to come back. Unfortunately, then what happened is people struggle to come back. In fact, some people who are sick and they come back and then spread it in the U.S. So if there are going to be travel restrictions, it's fine if it's total travel restrictions as there were in Australia. But if there are travel restrictions with loopholes, then those people who come back need to be quarantined for 14 days to be sure they're not going to come up with this variant.
What are you hearing so far about what the Oregon Health Authority is doing as they follow this?
Well, the Oregon Health Authority is well aware of what's going on. They're already going to be able to do testing for this variant. So at the state public health laboratory, they sequence each of the positive tests. And so for tests that get into the state lab, we're going to know about this variant as soon as it gets there. In addition, the University of Oregon is doing widespread testing in schools, and they're going to be sequencing all of their positive cases. So if it arrives in Oregon, we'll know. The hope is that it won't arrive until after Christmas, right? That's about 4.5 weeks away. So that it won't arrive until after Christmas, so that it won't be a super spreader event around Christmas time.
And is it possible that it's already here?
Yes, it certainly is possible. I think it's unlikely. Oregon is usually not one of the places that sees the first early variants, but it certainly is possible.
Other things we should know about this variant?
Well, the other things about this variant are that we don't know how well the vaccine is going to work against it. I think the hope is that the vaccine would work pretty well, but that's still up in the air. Since we do know now how to make the vaccine, it would just take a refiguring of the genetic material to make a booster specific for the Omicron. But I think the best hope is that it would take 100 days to make this new vaccine and then another 60 or so days for it to be delivered. So that's a long time. That gets us till next summer. And what we've seen with these other variants is that they spread very quickly. So when we look, for example, at the Delta variant, it was really late March, early April that it first came to the fore, and within 100 days, we were already swamped. So these things do spread and spread very quickly.
And we were hoping to not get new variants that were going to become an issue like this. It kind of changes the playing field, it seems like, for this whole situation.
Oh, absolutely. So people have always asked me to predict what's going to happen with the pandemic. And I said, if we don't get a new and nasty variant, what we would expect is a continuing moderate number of cases in the wintertime and then a decrease in the springtime. But as I've always said, that's always tempered by the fear that you have a new and nasty variant. And this has the possibility of being one of those new and nasty variants. I don't say a definite, but certainly has the risk of being one of those new and nasty variants.
A break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back with County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1. Peter Greenberg, Eye on Travel at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Lisa Platt from the Mercy Foundation. They are doing the Festival of Trees as a virtual event this year. She'll talk more about how that's going to work later in the week with things happening Thursday and Saturday, and also more about the work of the Mercy Foundation as well. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, we spent the first half of the program talking about the new variant. Let's get an update on a number of things. First of all, let's talk about the county cases. Now, there's a shift starting this week to a weekly report, so we'll get more in-depth data on Wednesday. But what do we know from the past few days so far?
Well, the past few days, pretty stable. Now, we always have a decrease in reporting of cases around holidays. So around holidays, there are more travel tests, which are very much more likely to be negative, and people who are sick may just hunker down rather than go to the emergency room on a holiday. So we're not exactly sure about the number of cases over the holiday, but it looks pretty stable over the last 6 weeks. We're having about 30 cases per day and between 20 and 30 people in the hospital. Still a lot of disease and still a lot of people in the hospital. I mean, when we think of all of the other diseases that public health follows, all of our sexually transmitted infections, all of our foodborne infections or whatever, we never have more than a few in the hospital at any one time. And thus to have 30 in the hospital now for weeks and weeks on end is really a strain on the system.
What about the age range of the newer cases?
Well, the age range goes from we've had them as early as newborns up to we've had people over 100. So it goes in all of those times. But most of the cases we're seeing now are in people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. Not surprising, because people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s are less likely to be vaccinated, and they're more likely to be active and vigorous going out to bars. Among older people, we're seeing some cases associated with nursing homes, and we're seeing a bunch of cases associated with businesses.
What about breakthrough cases? What's that looking like right now?
Well, it looks like the vaccine is still working pretty well. So if you look at our adult population, about 60% of our adult population is vaccinated. And when you look at people in the hospital, all of whom are 18 now, 90% are not vaccinated. So to have 90% of the cases among the 40% that are not vaccinated suggests that the vaccine gives a tenfold protection against hospitalization and against death.
Now, for vaccinations in the county, how many are getting booster shots?
So when we look at our shots, we're doing about 2,000 shots a week. And of those 2,000 shots, now about 1,500 of those are booster shots. Some are new shots for people 5 to 18, and some are second shots for people who got their first shot a month ago.
And what about pediatric vaccinations? Are we seeing a lot of folks getting that done?
Yes. We're seeing a steady number, about 100 a week, of kids 5 to 11 getting vaccinated. The vaccines are available at each of the clinics that cares for kids. So we really think the best way to go ahead and get this vaccine is to get it where you get your other vaccines. And in our county, most people get their vaccines at their doctor's office. There are some doctors who are not giving the vaccines, and then Aviva gives those. And that's where we think kids should get their COVID vaccines.
What about state data? Let's take a look at that. How are things looking around Oregon?
Well, Oregon has had a declining number of cases now for about 10 weeks. Pretty much there are no hotspots in Oregon. If they're the closest thing to a hotspot is Deschutes County, which continues to have a moderate number of cases. But in general, the state is pretty quiet, and we want to keep it that way. You know, the weather is still pretty nice, but we worry that as the weather starts to get cold and rainy, certainly if we get any snow, that people will spend more time indoors, and that could be a real risk for spread.
Looking around America right now, where are the hotspots for COVID-19 cases in the U.S.?
Well, the hotspots in the U.S. are in the more northern places, so Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, upstate New York, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, all are having a bunch of disease. And for anybody who watched the Michigan games over the weekend, they're having a blizzard down. So people will spend more time indoors, and that's where much of the spread is. And so we worry that as it gets colder in more southern parts of the country, that the disease will spread there.
And are you seeing that same situation when you look at world cases right now?
Yes. So we look at world cases. The really high places now are in Eastern Europe, Eastern and Central Europe. So Germany, Belgium, Austria, Liechtenstein, those places are really have a lot of disease. It's, again, mostly Delta. And in those areas, it's mostly among people not vaccinated. And in Central Europe, most of the older people are vaccinated. So most of these cases are among younger people. But it is causing a considerable strain on the system in Central Europe.
So we've gotten through Thanksgiving. How long will it be before we know if we're going to pick up a little uptick from Thanksgiving cases? What's the time frame from exposure to getting symptoms and then testing positive?
So if you were exposed on Thanksgiving, you would likely start to get contagious today or tomorrow, and then you would likely come up with symptoms tomorrow or Wednesday. Now, what typically happens, however, is that the first wave is hard to pick up because it may be, say, 20 people who got the disease on Thanksgiving. But those 20 people who got the disease on Thanksgiving, if they don't take precautions, can now spread it to another 5 or 6 each. And then within 3 incubation periods, which is about 15 days, you could expect to see the big rise. So we're going to be really, really watching carefully over the next 10 days to see what happens with cases in Douglas County.
And once we get through that point, will that give us a better idea of how the Christmas season may go?
Well, yes, it would if the Omicron wasn't there. So the Omicron is really going to be the big issue. Let's say the Omicron is similar to the Delta, then it shouldn't make a big difference. If the Omicron is either more contagious or less well protected for by vaccine, then all bets are off.
Now, something about the new one I just thought of. How do you, when someone tests positive for COVID-19, what is the criteria? How is a health professional able to determine that they have, for instance, the new variant?
Well, to do the new variant, you have to do a PCR test. That PCR test then takes 2 or 3 days until you find the virus. And then it has to be sequenced, which takes another week or so. And then the sequence would tell you whether it was an Alpha, a Delta, or an Omicron. In Oregon right now, almost all of the cases are Delta or one of the subvariants. And so they'll be looking for this. So even if somebody showed up tomorrow with a positive test, showed up tomorrow with symptoms and you did the PCR, you wouldn't really know if it was Omicron for a week or 10 days. So that's where the reporting is somewhat delayed. There are some countries that do a much better job with sequencing, and they sequence every one of the tests that they get, and they sequence within 48 hours. So, for example, Belgium does a very good job with sequencing, and they've already found a bunch of these. So these could be here in the United States, and they're waiting, undergoing testing. So we'll see. This is going to be the thing that I will be most carefully following over the next 2 weeks.
So Wednesday is December. High school sports shift back inside, basketball, et cetera. What concerns do you have about high school athletics?
Well, high school athletics are very positive for so many kids. High school athletics for many kids is why they continue on in school, and is a source of tremendous camaraderie and leadership building. So high school sports are important. That being said, we do know that indoor sports are much more likely to transmit than outdoor sports. So if you look at the football teams, most of the football teams were able to get through the whole season without a significant amount of quarantine. And if you look at the pros, mostly outdoor, there have really not been very many cases in the outdoor sports. Indoor sports is a whole new problem. We certainly have seen with volleyball, which is typically an indoor sport, a number of transmissions. And last year during basketball, we saw a number of transmissions. So we're a little nervous about winter indoor sports.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me, and we'll stay up top on the Omicron.
All right, 1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.